glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, January 16th, 2025. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and last week we enjoyed a conversation with Debbie Griffiths. It started out by being a whole conversation on vengeance. You can find her devotional at debbiegriffiths.org, but then it kind of turned into working through forgiveness, and so we're going to pick the conversation up there. Now, something else I caught myself doing is if I am in a conflict with somebody and I do feel offended and I feel that they hurt me, I use that as an opportunity to not look at what I did in the situation. And I stay very, very fixed and concerned about their part in it. I have a very difficult time going back in and owning my part of something. I'm just, you know, being completely honest here, kids, because I don't want to look at it. I don't want to admit maybe something I did triggered them but you know, my kids are helping me with this. They're giving mom her scorecard, and some of it does require for me to go back in and say, you know what? I didn't handle that right. You know, you're right. So we're kind of like, when they become adults, we process some of this stuff. An hour session, I'm like, okay, guys, let's stop here and let's pick up at 2008 next session.
That's really mature that you do that. And I recently did that right before Mother's Day to my husband and I have four sons. They're all adults. And my two oldest, I asked them individually before Mother's Day and had a one-on-one with them. And the question was, is there anything I need to apologize for? Mm. Now, that's different because it's really vulnerable because you can assume, oh, that probably hurt them, or I could say sorry for this. But to actually just bare yourself as a mom, as a person, and say to the person, so in this case, my two oldest sons separately, have I done anything I need to apologize for? And they both had something. And it wasn't as bad as I thought. Mm-hmm. And with my oldest, there was part of me, of course, that wanted to defend why I had done it this way, or, you know, had said the words I did or whatever it was. But instead I listened and I acknowledged it and I said, I am sorry. And then I said, I will aim to not repeat that kind of behavior that hurts your feelings or that, you know, hurts our relationship. And it was so powerful. And then I didn't plan necessarily like, oh, I'm going to do it right before Mother's Day. But the tradition of what I've done with my boys when they were little is put out construction paper and stickers and markers, and they made a homemade card. So when people will say, you have such amazing boys, I can't believe they'd all make a homemade card. It's like, oh, I directed this, you know, this setup. Like, this is, and so they all still do it. And my Mother's Day card from my oldest, who just turned 30, he wrote, and they always write something fun or personal in the card. And he said, thank you, Mom, for admitting. And it was just so funny, the words he used. Thank you for admitting your wrongdoing. Thank you for the humility to admit your wrongdoing. I really appreciated that. And it was just powerful. And our relationship has been so much healthier. Not that it was bad, but it's healthier because I was able to ask him. And the same thing with my second child, who's a little more strong-willed like me. And it was funny because when I was talking to him, he was the first person, the first son I asked. And then I said, I'm going to be asking your brother Marco later. And he goes, yeah, well, let me tell you what Marco will say. And I go, whoa, 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 Pete. You have your own list. Marco can share with me. You don't need to like giddy up and go with what you think your brothers are going to be bugged about that I did, you know, that I need to apologize for. But it's pretty powerful. And I just going off what you said of just that humility is what it is.
It is
to humble yourself and be available to say, where could I have done this differently or said something differently?
You know, that leads me to the next part of your blog. It says, I think a big challenge is not to pick up the offense of a family or a friend who's been hurt. Mm. So let's talk about that. Picking up someone else's offense. And you call it sucking the poison of their sin. And when we do that, we become bitter along with them. So people are able to infect us with their own bitterness.
Yeah.
And of course, we love our family and we want to support them. And it does hurt us when other people are hurting them. But just like your boys, they were chatting about mom and some of the offenses.
Right.
And those brothers picked up that offense that their brother had had. And the problem I find with this, when I do this for other people, long after whoever it is makes up with that person, they somehow never cycle back to me and, you know, remind me that they're okay with that person now. And I'm still mad.
That's exactly
I'm still bitter. So, yeah, they never come back and retract that, hey, we got this thing right. And I keep moving through life every time I see that person with the stab. You know, I've got the knife ready to stab them.
The poison.
And actually, it's got stabbing, you know, properties on both ends of it because I get stabbed at the same time mentally. Talk a little bit about that.
That's so good that you brought that up because I recently, during Christmas time, had a conversation that was just fun and free with a individual extended family member that if you would have told me 10 years ago we would have this much enjoyment in friendship and laugh and connecting on so many topics, I would have not believed it. Mm. I did not think real restorative reconciliation was possible because there's so much time and hurt had happened. And it was just so beautiful. And I said to my husband, Dan, I enjoy her so much. And she's funny and witty. And I just can't believe we're in a restored, reconciled relationship. Then about a week later, I thought of this other person who'd gotten in the middle of it and taken on the offense of that individual of that I just am speaking of at Christmas time. And I thought that has never been restored. Wow. And it's unlikely it will be because unless maybe the person said to, we'll just use a random name, unless Jamie and we'll say Sarah. Sarah's the person I had an offense with and that's reconciled. So unless Sarah went to Jamie and said, you know what, everything with Debbie has been restored and reconciled. And even then she'd be like, really? Because I know how she hurt you and whatever. But that I feel like that relationship with Jamie is broken and unlikely to really be restored in the same way that it was with Sarah. And so that's what happens. You're right. You don't, because you look at that person like that hurt, that woman hurt my family member. And I just don't, it doesn't matter what she says or the other person says, I know what she did. And you just have a hard time letting that poison that you sucked get out of your system.
Yeah, and so we have to actually start praying for the people who hurt the people we love because that poison, it just infects us and we suffer along with them. That is, I think, so critical. And then now I challenge myself, okay, when I hear somebody launching into a grievance that they have, I'm a good listener. And I love people by listening to them. And so I do want to hear people. And so here they launch into, you know, so-and-so did that and this happened and emotionally drawn in and I care about them. But I have to stop myself and I have to go full on left brain, you know, logical and start really processing this from a spirit level so I don't get dragged into that. Because I'm going to have to help them. I have to be there. I've got to be the adult in the room when they come to their senses and really want to process the pain. I can't let them wallow in their own pain because that's not healthy for them. I want to help move them out. Now, the moment they're unloading on you is not the time to say, well, you know, you need to forgive them. You need to start forgiving them and start praying for them. You know, I can't. I have to let them just get it all out. And they have to trust me, and maybe it's not going to be that immediate conversation.
I'm going to let some of the steam, you know, die off. And I'm not going to put any logs on the fire, you know, by joining in, going, you're right, you're right. And just maybe the next time I talk to them, how's it going? How's it going with that? You know, if they want to bring it back up, maybe that's the time to say, you know, a few things. So we have to help each other to get out of this.
Yeah. And it is hard. What's interesting, if we're really being honest, is that gossip about somebody that's done something wrong, even if it that person hasn't hurt you, but you both see a person that you think, oh, I don't like this about her. She does this and this and this. Gossip actually connects people together because you're both complaining about a person and not looking at maybe your part or your, and it really is a Matthew 7:5 example. Matthew 7:5 says, first take the plank out of your own eye so you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye or your sister's eye. And we're so busy talking about their plank. How can we see that we have one jutting out of our own eye, or even how to do surgery on our the speck in our sister or brother's eye, because this ginormous plank is shooting out. Yeah. And so it is easier to talk about somebody else's problems and judge them than to look at our own self and say, this is where I'm struggling, or this is where I need prayer. Instead, like, let's just go to Juicy Gossip and talk about how bad they are. And then we'll make ourselves feel better because we're not as bad as that person.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, it sounds so awful, but we do it. I do it. And so I have to cut, you know, just what you're saying. I have to like, okay, I can't keep talking about this, you know, over and over.
Yeah.
I can talk about what you shared. Like if someone comes to you in confidence and says, I'm really struggling, because I have a mentor that does that. And she'll just over and over say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That's hard. That hurts. I don't have anything to say other than you have a reason to be hurt. You have, there's something to what you're saying, that there's a loss and a grief. And probably with some people, you have to accept this is what has happened and they may never change, but how are you going to change in the way you process and go forward? And that's what you can do as a friend in listening, is listen and offer that comfort and acknowledge the grief and then help them to process that it may never change with that person, but how are you going to move forward so that you're not holding on to bitterness and letting it take root in you?
Absolutely. That is the crux of it all, is to not stay stuck. I don't want to stay stuck.
Right.
I am so not creative. I am so not engaged with what's going on. I really can't do my job. I can't process what I feel the Lord would have me process to share with other people. Don't you feel, as someone who encourages other people, that when you're discouraged, it's really hard to encourage other people?
Your focus is so much on that hurt that you don't have a clear vision. It's everything's blurry from the hurt. And so I do say in this writing about Everyday Vengeance that the prayer I just say is, Jesus, root it up. Help me to take the bitter root of hurt I've let seep in from another. And one of the things that I do about that person is I think on what the good things this person has done. Because even if it's, like, obviously the extreme cases of abuse and whatever, but if this person is, as a believer, look at what they have done that's good. And it might be hard because you're so hurt, but it's really following then, like, everything follows his word, and his word is a direction for our lives of how to move forward. And he knows what's best because he created us. And one of the things in Philippians 4:8, it says to think on what is right and true and lovely and worthy of praise. But of course, we take and do the opposite of Philippians 4:8 by thinking on what is irritating, frustrating, annoying, and worthy of complaining about, right?
Yeah.
And so I ask God to, you know, root it up, and then I think on what are the good things in this person's life. You know, it might be just a few things, and I'm struggling still. So then the other day, I'm not even kidding. I was walking from the post office just on the street in my hometown, International Falls, Minnesota. And I started saying things that I could be thankful for because I was so frustrated. And it was things like this. I'm thankful that I have running water to brush my teeth. And I'm thankful, you know, just silly things. I'm thankful that we have a place to live that is nice and warm that I'm going to walk into. I'm thankful for, you know, just people. I'm thankful for my husband. So, you know, sometimes the moan and groan is about him. But on this particular day, it was like, thank you for my husband being so supportive. Because sometimes he just listens like to my same story of how I'm hurt. He's like, Debbie, I said, I know, Dan. I know, but I have to get it out. And I don't want to gossip about it to other women or to other people. And you happen to be the person that can just hear it right now. Yeah. And so I thank God for my husband. And so finding things you can be thankful for, even if it's not with that person particularly that you're struggling with, it's following God's word to think on what is right and true and lovely and worthy of praise. What are things you can think on? And it's like you said earlier, which is 2 Corinthians 10:5, to take every thought captive into obedience of God and his word.
That's the work. And it's work, my friend. You think we're just going to slide into this? No, this is the work. And that's what God is calling us to do. As you were speaking, you remind me as well to be thankful for whatever you can be thankful for. I had a friend of mine who was deeply abused by her father, sexually, physically, emotionally. And so she had distanced herself from him, realizing there can be no relationship with him, especially not with her children. And so Father's Day was so horrific because it just re-traumatized her over and over and over again. And she was sharing that with me. And I finally said, you know what? There is one thing you can be grateful for. And she said, what? And I said, you're here. He did one thing right, and he had you. That's the one thing. Yeah. If you want to find one thing, you're great. You're beautiful. And, you know, you're here and you've got beautiful children. And if he had not made that choice. And so she's like,
that's right.
You're right. And there was a release in her where finally one thing, and that was it. I don't think there was anything else, but you know, we can be, we can always find that one thing. God used it for good. God used him.
That's right.
For good in her life in that he got her onto this planet. And that's pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, when the Holy Spirit just gives us that incredible sense of his power in our lives, it just, you feel the love and you know he's real. Now, again, sometimes he allows that in a moment, but a lot of times we're walking by faith. We're walking by faith and we're saying, yes, Lord, bless, bless, bless by faith. And maybe there's still some heightened emotions involved and they haven't been really taken down much, but we're going to keep at it in that moment, obeying the Lord and blessing our enemies and not cursing them. Debbie, as always, such a blessing that you're a part of Mark and Friends. And again, if anyone wants to read your blog, read your post on a daily matter, Everyday Matters, let them know how to access your resources.
So you simply go to my website, which is my name, Debbie Griffith, debbiegriffith.com. And every week you can subscribe to the Matters Mail, Everyday Matters Mail. And then once a week in your inbox, you'll get the 5 transcripts and actually the audio to listen if you wanted of what I'm sharing. And really all of these short little messages like today come from my own experience of reading God's word, writing in my journal of what he's doing, and then encouraging you to look to who he is and follow him and his word. And I can't stress that enough. And I'm sure, you know, there's so many people and speakers and different people of encouragement, but I really have a heart for encouraging people to know God personally through the Bible, his word. And it's not about me. I have a lot of great things to encourage you with. You do too, Donna. But God's word is is so powerful because he is the Word. And Hebrews 4:12 says that it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And then we know that by his word, it does not return to him empty. Isaiah 55:11 says, God's word does not return to him void, but accomplishes everything he purposes it to do. So it is such power. More than, it's not that I don't read devotions. It's not that I don't want you to go and subscribe to Everyday Matters. And my hope and encouragement is that you then are encouraged to read God's word for yourself, to journal if you want or don't want, but just to start seeing how he moves in your everyday life by the power of his everyday word.
That's so well said. Thank you again, Debbie. We will have you back on. You are a perennial favorite, and we're praying for snow for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a blessing to many of the people in northern Minnesota that a lot of the resorts and restaurants and things count on the tourists and the people coming on the trails. And when there's not snow, you can see that business isn't as active. So I thank you for praying for snow.
That's so great. All right, dear. We'll be back, and we will have you on again.
Okay. God bless you, Donna. Thank you so much. I enjoy it so much.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of the Mark and Friends broadcast. If you miss any Mark and Friends program, don't forget, you can find it. It's sitting there waiting for you in an MP3 format that's easy to download onto your computer. Just go to Great News Media, click on the Mark and Friends, and you'll be able to enjoy it. And also share it with a friend. Maybe sometimes you hear something on Mark and Friends and you think, I think another friend of mine would really be encouraged by that. That's an easy way to let them know how to find it. Remember back in the day, we'd have to mail away for a CD or a cassette, if you remember those, and then pay a fee and then wait for a week or so for it to get shipped back. But not anymore. We have an amazing technology at our fingertips, at a mouse click, and it's all waiting for you at Mark and Friends. Again, this is all possible because we're listener-supported Christian radio, and you, dear friend, have supported us and made Mark and Friends possible. I'm your host, Donna Leland, trusting you have a great day, and the Lord willing, we'll talk again tomorrow. Mark will be back with Jason Schiffo with a wonderful broadcast, a Bible study here on Mark and Friends.